So I just wanted to let you all know, of course, we all know now about this, the very sad passing about Father Marcin Zahuta last Sunday, longtime pastor of St. Thomas More at the USC. I just want to let you know also that his funeral is scheduled for this coming Thursday, March the 12th, at St. Peter's, also in Columbia, downtown, at 11 a.m. All are certainly welcome, but regardless, I certainly ask you to continue to pray for the repose of his soul, as well as the consolation of his family, I believe all of whom are still in Poland, as well as all those that he served in his priesthood. Father Marcin's sudden passing reminds us of the brevity of life, as well as St. Benedict's exhortation to keep death always before your eyes. Indeed, we never know the day or the hour when the Lord will call us, so let us always be ready, especially making sure we are in the state of grace. And so if you haven't been recently, I renew my call for all of us to go to confession. Father Marcin's passing also reminds us of the continued need in this diocese and others for more young men to answer the Lord's call to the priesthood. The sudden loss of a 42-year-old pastor leaves a rather big void, and it's not as if we have all these spare priests sitting around waiting to fill it. I know we pray for vocations all the time, and we certainly should, but we also need to talk to our children and our grandchildren about it. From a young age, we should teach them about discernment and listening to God's will, and remind them that the priesthood is a beautiful life. Every day I have the privilege of making God himself present, literally. I have the tremendous blessing of reconciling sinners to their Creator, of reopening the doors of heaven for them. It's unbelievable. It is certainly a life that requires sacrifices, but any life worth living requires sacrifices. So let us continue to ask God to move the hearts of our young people and our parents to be open to his will, but also to do our part in actively encouraging more young men to consider the vocation to the priesthood. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Aside from its own feast day of August the 6th, every year on the second Sunday of Lent, we hear an account of one of the most mysterious events in our Lord's life, the Transfiguration. Several years back, while on pilgrimage in the Holy Land, I was privileged to visit the mountain upon which the Transfiguration occurred, Mount Tabor. In reality, this mountain is more like a steep hill. However, riding on an old, rickety bus around very tight curves with no guardrails, it was definitely high enough to scare me a little bit. But aside from those slight fears some of us may have had that day, the rides up and down Mount Tabor reinforce the reality of the mystery of the Transfiguration and the experience of Peter, James, and John in that moment. At this point in Jesus' public ministry, it's become clear to the Lord's disciples that following him will not involve fame or power or any kind of worldly satisfaction. In fact, in the chapter before the one we've heard today, we see the seminal instructions of our Lord to Peter, and they are sobering. Simon, of course, is renamed Peter, the rock upon which the church was to be built. In the next few verses, Jesus then makes his first prediction of his passion, when Peter steps up and says, "God forbid, Lord, no such thing will ever happen to you." Jesus responds by saying, "Get behind me, Satan." Nothing and no one will keep Jesus from the work of redemption he is to accomplish on the cross. Finally, Jesus tells them all that in order to be his disciple, they must take up their cross daily and follow him. Given these admonitions from Jesus, we can understand why Peter and the other apostles may have felt a little down. They placed all their hopes in this Jesus, and it appears that all they have to gain from it is suffering. And so Jesus takes them up this mountain and gives them a glimpse of his divinity, reminding them that whatever may come their way, it is as nothing compared to the glory that awaits them and that awaits all those who believe. This experience is so wonderful, the disciples don't want to leave. Peter wants to pitch tents for Jesus and Moses and Elijah. They want to stay as long as possible. And yet they must go back down the mountain. This extraordinary experience has only been a reminder, but so much work still lies ahead for the Lord and for them, and they have to use their renewed strength to remain faithful to their mission. Given that gospel today, I wanted to talk briefly about our experiences in prayer. Of course, prayer is the most fundamental thing that we do as Christians, and one of the great pillars of the Lenten season. St. Paul tells us to pray without ceasing. St. Alphonsus Liguori said much more bluntly, "Those who pray are saved, those who do not pray are not." So prayer is definitely not optional, but a life of prayer is also not necessarily easy. There are moments in our lives when we feel particularly close to God. Maybe we're in prayer before the Blessed Sacrament, we're praying the Rosary, we're going on a retreat or some kind of a day of recollection. Maybe we're receiving some life-changing good news. As with the apostles, these moments may come in the wake of terrible trials and difficulties. In those moments, the Lord sends us graces in the form of what we call consolations. These consolations offer us somewhat sensible, a seemingly tangible experience of God's love and closeness to us. And when we receive these consolations, we not only know, we seem to feel God's presence, and we want nothing more than for that feeling to last. However, we know that these moments will never last. At some point, probably after a pretty short time, those consolations pass away, and we find ourselves once again striving to see God's face and experience that moment again. But as with the Transfiguration, these consolations are but momentary reprieves, reminders that the Lord is still there, still calling us to follow him. And so like Peter, James, and John, we too must go back down the mountain, back into the world with all the joys and sorrows that come with it. Perhaps you find it difficult to pray. Many do, or at least say they do. Perhaps it seems as if you're getting nothing out of it. But we should remember that prayer is not primarily about gaining something for ourselves. While petition is one of the purposes of prayer, it falls behind adoration and contrition and thanksgiving. The first reason why we pray, the principal reason why we pray, is simply to adore God because he is God. And then if he decides to grant us those consolations every now and then, those little glimpses, we should thank him for his goodness and move on with our prayer. In those moments of spiritual dryness that many of us can experience, that we all experience at certain points, when it seems as if God is not present or not listening, it's good to consider Jesus on the cross when he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Obviously, as God, Jesus knows that the Father is with him always. And yet in that moment of supreme agony, Jesus' humanity could not sense God's presence. There was no consolation to remind him, his sacred heart, his human heart, that the Father was right there the whole time. Still, Jesus knows that he is there, and he completes his sacrifice saying, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." That same must be our attitude towards prayer. Jesus simply wants us to spend time with him, to tell him everything going on in our lives. We owe it to him as our creator and redeemer to offer ourselves to him, not for any rewards we might get, for any consolations, but simply because he loved us and gave himself up for us. Let us not be discouraged if we try to pray and maybe don't get the rewards that we'd like, maybe don't get some of those nice feelings. We have to keep at it. Offer even those difficulties as a little sacrifice. And remember that the Lord's there, whether we can sense him or not. And sometimes we may find ourselves right there on the mountain with Peter and James and John. But even when we're not, when we're at the very bottom of the mountain, Jesus is still there and we can look at him and say, Lord, it is good that we are here. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let us stand and profess our faith.